I'm going to give you the five words right now. Here they are. I couldn't help but notice. Okay, say them with me. I couldn't help but notice. I couldn't help but notice. I'm going to talk about how they connect to what we're talking about, and that is going into all the world and making disciples, and how the arts, if you've been with us over the last number of weeks, and I hope that you have been and hope that you plan to be, they begin to build on one another. So if you have your Bibles, just go to the book of Philippians. Just flip there. Flip the Philippians. I just made it up. It's right here on the stage. Okay. So flip the Philippians. If you're new to the Bible, that's okay. It's near the end of the Bible. Galatians, Ephesians, keep on going there. And you'll find it. It's a small book. And just put your finger there. We'll be there in just a little bit. But what we've been talking about is that Jesus has placed us wherever we are. For some of us, it's in an office. For some of us, it's at a school, and it's in a school setting. It's in a work setting. It's in our neighborhood. And we're carrying out our normal everyday routines connected to people who are far away from Jesus. And what we've been talking about is that most of us, I'm just going to guess, but most of us are more uncomfortable with kind of the cold call of going up and knocking on a door, and the door opens, and we go, you're going to go to heaven or hell? You know, kind of that cold turkey approach. How many? That's a little bit more uncomfortable for you. Raise your hand. You can raise your hand because it's a little more uncomfortable for me as well. Or we're holding the sign that says turn or burn, you know, repent and da-da-da-da out there on the street. And we got the megaphone and we're uncomfortable with that approach. And what we've been talking about in this Arts of Spiritual Conversation is an approach to share the gospel, to share Jesus, that's a part of our normal everyday routine. What that means is that there are people that you're connected with every day. They're in the grocery store. They're where you buy your coffee. They're where you live. They're in your office. They're in your school. They're part of your normal everyday routine. That's a group of people that we're talking about. Jesus has placed you there so that you can carry out his command. What's his command? Well, Matthew 28 is what we're here for, what Jesus called us to do. Jesus came and told his disciples right here, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, do what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's why you and I are here. If anyone asks you, why does Gateway exist? You tell them right there. Gateway exists to make disciples. That's why we're here. If anyone asks you, why do you do that Day of Hope? Why do you spend all that money to do that? What's the answer? Make disciples. Why do you feed people on Friday nights? What's the answer? Yeah, make disciples. Why do you teach kids? Why do you invest in students and children? What's the answer? To make disciples, because that's what we're called to do. That one thing. And that's what this is all about. The Arts of Spiritual Conversation is how do we do that individually? How we do it as a faith community through events like the Day of Hope and so on, but how do we do it individually? Go and make disciples. Now, I've said in the past number of weeks that it takes a disciple to make a disciple. It takes a follower of Jesus committed to his faithfully carrying on his teaching to make a disciple. Now, we don't have to guess what a disciple is, because Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, verse 31. Here's the definition of a disciple. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, who trusted in him, you are truly my disciple, and here it is, if you remain faithful to my teachings. There's a disciple. You're truly my disciple if you remain faithful to my teachings, if you obey me. That's a disciple. What that says to me individually, and what it says to you as well, is that if we're a follower of Jesus, his disciple, we commit ourselves to daily living out our life according to his teaching. According to what we read and we understand in the Bible. It's rooted in a biblical worldview. It begins with God. It ends with Him. It's living our life according to His teaching. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes we don't want to do that. It got really quiet. Okay, so as angelic as you think I am, as angelic as you think I might be, or sometimes maybe, okay, whatever it is, and the same for you too. There are times in my life when my flesh, my human flesh, wants to take over, right? There are times in my life when I want to be really angry and really mad at somebody. There are times in my life when I want to lash back and I want to treat somebody the way they treated me, because that is right and that's just, according to my human flesh, see? I was thinking about that this morning, and then I flipped to Galatians chapter 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It's part of walking faithfully and obediently. Love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as much as I tell my wife those are all about her, they're all about me. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. See, it's no longer how I feel. It's no longer, you know, me. It's all about Him. It's no longer my understanding or my desires or my wants. It's all about Jesus and walking faithfully according to His teaching. That's what a disciple does. And disciples are to go into all the world and make disciples. And so that's what we're talking about, the arts of spiritual conversations. Now, let me give you the definition of a disciple. Here it is right here. A disciple does this. A disciple is someone who follows Christ, obeys Him, shares Him with others, and allows Him to transform their worldview, and then trains others to do the same. So as a disciple of Jesus, one, you, me, who's living according to His teachings, I pray that we are, we're to go into all the world as we follow Him, live in obedience, we share Him, and then we share Him with others and teach others to do the same thing. But the arts of spiritual conversations is, how do we do that? How do we get from here to there? Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about noticing, if you were here, right? Noticing. So there are opportunities in our life, in our everyday routine, to enter into a relationship. So we talked about that and what that looks like in the arts of spiritual conversations. How do we get from here to there? How does a disciple make a disciple? So we talked about noticing. And then we talked about prayer, because we know that without prayer, we're ineffective. And so if you're trying to carry out this life without prayer, give it up. Because without prayer, we're ineffective. That's why we pray. And so we talked about that. And then listening, because listening provides opportunities to do something we're going to talk about in just a few moments. Listening provides opportunities. Now, we listen in different ways. So a lot of us are connected via Facebook, so you can listen that way as well, and you begin to see things taking place. But we listen for opportunities to share the good news. Now, these three are a bit more passive, and it's pretty easy for us to say, I can do that. I can do that. I mean, I can notice, and I can pray. We can pray, and I can listen. But today, we're talking about something that moves us into engagement with the people that Jesus has connected us with. So we're going to talk about, with intentionality, moving into and engaging those people in a conversation that we're going to pray will lead to a spiritual conversation and that person coming to faith in Jesus. Now, today, here's our big idea. Big idea. Good questions. open the door to meaningful conversations. We'll talk about what a good question looks like. It's a very practical series on how do we do that? How does a disciple make a disciple? So good questions open the door to meaningful conversations. Let me give you our motivational thought for this series. I pray it settles deep in your heart, because when I first read it, it did mine. It's from George Barna, who said this: most unchurched people are not being pursued by anyone. And if that's the first time you've heard it, if you missed a few weeks ago, just let that settle deep in your heart. Most unchurched people are not being pursued by anyone. That means that people who are in your circle, people who are part of your normal everyday routine, where you get coffee, where you buy your gas, where you work, you're a business owner, the people you're connected with, where you carry out your life, retired, not retired, working, unemployed, it doesn't make any difference. Wherever we are, as part of our normal everyday routine, we are amongst people who are not being pursued by anyone. Most unchurched people, people who are far away from Jesus, are not being pursued by anyone. I shared that with my son. My youngest son, who pastors over in Yakima. And just a few weeks ago, I was listening to him. He shared, "Hey, I heard this from my dad, who heard it from George Barna." Most unchurched people are not being pursued. They're talking about the purpose of the church. You see, we need to understand that Jesus has placed us where Jesus has placed us for a reason. And that's to live out this command to go into all the world and make disciples. But how do we do that? That's what we're talking about today. It's easy to do those things, but what about now moving from the passive to being involved? Years ago, I was working, it was actually when I was in high school, and I was working at this laundromat, I noticed a person that I was connected with that I just prayed. Now, this will make it sound like, you know, I was the perfect teen, but I wasn't. It was just, this was one of those times that I did pray. And I asked God, "God, would you just open up the opportunity here? Pray for that." And if we pray that, by the way, He will do that. He will do that. And there, from that prayer of mine, came this opportunity. This Holy Spirit led and guided conversation to share with this person why it is I would not be involved in the activity that he was involved in because of what Jesus had done for me. You see, that's what happens when we pray. But now we're talking about how engaging people, and it's not uncomfortable at all. It's very natural and very normal for each one of us. I hope that we catch on to these five words we're going to keep coming back to. I couldn't help but notice and see how they connect. Now, we need to understand that without the activities of a follower of Jesus, Jesus follower in partnership now with the Holy Spirit, these are people, these unchurched people, who are destined for an eternity without Jesus. Followers of Jesus in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Now I understand, and I know, that the Holy Spirit can, He does speak to people, and He doesn't, quote unquote, need us. But God has chosen to carry out His work in the world today through you and me. That's why we're here. He's chosen to do that, and that's what we're talking about. So we've noticed, and we prayed, and we've listened. What about this area now of questions? Asking questions to start to engage in a spiritual conversation that will allow the opportunity to share about Jesus. Somewhere, write it down, you know, not just the five words, I couldn't help but notice, but just this one thing, questions, ask questions. And this whole principle is rooted in Philippians. So go to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. That's what we're going to see in just a moment. And how we do it, okay? So I'm going to ask you this week to use these five words, I couldn't help but notice, and allow that lead into a question, and it's rooted in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. So just go there, it will be there in just a moment. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul writes, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ." Now, Philippi was a Roman colony, and Paul's hearers would have understood what it is that he was saying. He was saying, you must live as citizens of heaven. In other words, your citizenship, or where you have your home, is heaven, but you're living here, and so conduct yourselves in this way. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. Live with the knowledge that though you're a citizen of heaven and enjoying the privileges of that reality like you and I are, if you're a follower of Jesus, we're enjoying the privileges of an eternity with him. We're to conduct ourselves this way. Now, conduct yourselves was a political, translated from a political word that simply meant this: live as a citizen. Your home is there, but live as a citizen. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, here's what I'd like for us to do. Kind of use it as a filter for our conversations this past week, okay? Let it speak to us. Here it is. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Now, Paul was addressing a situation here that evidently was prompted by the self-centeredness of some Christians, of certain Christians. And he says, nothing is to be done out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, meaning empty glory. That's probably was the root of this selfish ambition that he was talking about. You see, the basis of entering into a conversation or entering into a relationship is not to bring glory to ourselves, not to point out our own goodness or life, but to point to the one who has set us free and made us who we are today. That's it, and that's the purpose. It's to make the name of Jesus famous. Now, Paul begins this letter this way. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus. Understand that, however, this lifestyle, doing nothing out of selfish ambition, not trying to impress others, thinking of others as better than yourself, is to extend to all areas of the disciple, the follower of Jesus, and includes how we interact with those people who are away from him. What's it look like? What's the process look like? That's what we're talking about today. Very often, when we enter into a conversation with people, and you don't even have to nod your head and don't point to your neighbor, it's more like this. There, I've told you all about myself. Now you tell me about myself. Think about it. Well, I finished talking about me. Now you talk about me. Now, the reason is because we know about me. We know about us, and it's easy to talk about us. So as we enter into a conversation, as we engage others, those who are far from me, it's not about us, it's about them. And good conversation simply begins with this curiosity. I couldn't help but notice. Curiosity. I couldn't help but notice. Those are the five words we're remembering today, and it opens the door to follow-up questions. We need to understand the power of curiosity, I think. And it's simply this, it's being interested in others. And you see that rooted here in Philippians, don't you? Don't be selfish, don't try to impress, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. We see it rooted here. Curiosity is the bridge that gets us from silently noticing the other person to actively engaging with them. I couldn't help but notice. I'm going to challenge us this week to use those five words with people that we're connected with in our normal routine. Somebody that you're going to go, I couldn't help but notice. And then allow the Holy Spirit to guide that into a conversation, into questions that will prompt a spiritual conversation. That's what we're talking about today. Now, there are some really bad examples of I couldn't help but notice that we want to stay completely away from. I couldn't help But notice, it's really a bad hair day for you. Some of us don't have to worry, right? I couldn't help but notice, if someone said to me, you've gained a little weight. Thanks, that's what I wanted to hear. I couldn't help but notice. Whatever. Those are bad. That's not what we're talking about. Remember Philippians? Don't try to impress others. Be humble, think of others better than yourselves. Jen and I were driving through a parking lot some years ago, and I noticed that a car of younger people, not teenagers, just younger people, were about to park in a handicapped parking spot. This is a bad example of, I couldn't help but noticing. And so I felt it my duty to correct that. Now, my wife, who was in the last gathering, she was here, and I said, look, I did it against her wisdom, who was saying, don't do that. You know, I should have listened to her. But I pulled up to the car and rolled my window down, and I said, I noticed you're parking in a spot you should not be parking in. And it drilled down from there. It went bad from there. It went really bad when he pulled out their handicapped parking sticker and hung it up in the window, you know. So we're not talking about pointing out another person's faults here. It's not what we're talking about. I couldn't help but notice allowing God to use that curiosity to open up a conversation that we can have that will lead to a spiritual conversation about who Jesus is. Henry Kimsley House, he spoke about curiosity in this way. He said, curiosity is not the same as gathering information, so that's not what we're doing. Curiosity is a different way of discovering, learning about the other person, taking interest in the other person. When you are curious, you are no longer in the role of the expert. Instead, you are exploring their world with them, not superimposing your world on theirs. So, it's showing interest in them and then allowing the Holy Spirit to direct questions. Here's what curiosity is. It's a gift from God that fuels our ability to enter a conversation through questions that focuses our attention on the other person, not ourselves. Meaningful questions give the other person the opportunity to explore life and eternity. Now, Jesus was a master at this. He was a master at questions. Just from the book of Matthew, we see a number of questions that were being used, and even when the disciples came to him. But in Matthew 6:28, Jesus poses a question, the master questioner. He goes like, and why worry about your clothing? There's a question. And it goes on. He says, look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. And why worry about your clothing? Another question. Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. It's a question. Matthew chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus asks, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, my mother and my brothers. Begins with a question. The disciples came to Jesus too. They said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Questions. Matthew chapter 21. I love this. Jesus replied, and he says, I'll ask you one question. And if you answer me, I'll tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or was it of human origin? Jesus is kind of master at questions. So we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And we're jumping out these five words I couldn't help but notice and praying that God leads that through his Holy Spirit into questions about who he is. Jen and I just returned from a couple weeks away. And just last week, we pulled into a fruit store down in Oregon and got out. And when I got out, I parked beside a van. And I looked in the van. I could see through the windows there. that there was a bike in there that I'm familiar with somewhat, and being a cyclist, and I was kind of interested. It was a 7, and a 7 is a custom-made bike, so I had huge interest in the bike and who the owner was. And so I went into the store, kind of looked around, tried to figure out who it is that might be riding this 7 and so on, and couldn't quite discover who the person was. And I saw a lady go to her car, go to that van. And so she came back in the store, and then she ended up in the line right beside us as we were buying some fruit and so on. So I said to her, "I noticed that you have a 7 in your van." And as soon as I said that, guess what happened? Man, like, her face lit up like that, and we were immediately engaged in this conversation. She was a shorter gal, and so the bike was, as they all are, custom made for her, and she began to tell me how they worked with her and so on and on and on and on. But here's the deal. In that moment, it was about her, not about me. In that moment, as soon as I said that, I noticed. Now, we're not connected in any way, and she's in Oregon somewhere, and I'm up here in Washington. But I would tell you, if she were here, or there was other opportunities to carry on the conversation, I don't know if she's a follower of Jesus or not, but those are the types of conversations that lead us into a relationship whereby we can share Jesus with this group of people that George Borna says is not being pursued by anyone. And they are people who are part of our normal everyday routines. What is Gateway about? Making disciples. That's what Jesus has called us to do. I purposely have placed myself in a couple places to connect with people who are far from Jesus. I've done that for some period of time now, and because here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to be isolated. I don't want to sit in my office here. I don't want to just gather on Sunday and talk to all of us and then not do the things that we're talking about. And so I'm connected in a couple areas with people who are far from Jesus to live this out. And I'm connected with a runner friend who's far from Jesus. And what's beginning to happen is that I was telling my wife about it here, just this way how God's kind of continued to open up a conversation and hasn't led yet the things about Jesus. But some time ago, I noticed that the family had experienced some tragedy. We're Facebook friends as well, and I noticed that they had lost a couple family members tragically and in a short period of time. And when I went to this person and I talked to this, I noticed that this happened. It immediately began to open up a conversation. This led to a few other conversations. I don't know yet. I pray where it's going to go. But do you see what I'm talking about? We're connected with people who are far from Jesus, and there's opportunities as we notice and as we pray, as we listen, to now to move into a conversation. And to do so with these 5 words, I couldn't help but notice and allow the Holy Spirit to guide the conversation and to raise the questions that will allow for a life to be transformed by the power of Jesus. He's connected you, and he's connected me with people who are far from him. And if we believe George Borna at all, no one's pursuing them. I'd like you to start thinking about who they are right now. Who it is that you're seeing, where you buy coffee, where you buy groceries, where you buy your gas, where you work, where you're employed, where you're not employed, who it is right now that you couldn't help but notice something about them. We're going to offer them up to Jesus in just a moment. My oldest granddaughter and I went fishing yesterday, and afterwards she said, "Hey, Papa, will you take me to coffee?" "Yeah, of course I will. Take you to coffee, breakfast, lunch, anything you want. You know, my granddaughter, right?" So we walked into the coffee store, and she always will say this to me. She goes, I bet you will not go in this coffee store without knowing somebody." So, you know, there was an attempt, but the person I buy coffee from gave me my coffee, we sat down, and Bree says, you didn't even have to tell her what you wanted. How many times do you come here? That was the question. But here's the point. You're connected with those people too. There are people that you see in your normal, everyday routine that you're connected with. I couldn't help but notice. So right now where you're seated, let's begin to think of those. Who are they? As I'm going to lead us in prayer in just a moment. Who's the person? Maybe they're in your family, extended family, and that looks like your work. That looks like your, wherever you do life, that Jesus has connected you with. You've noticed something, you're listening, and now, with intentionality, you're going to move into a conversation. You're going to move from that passive role to engaging them now and praying that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide that. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I'm going to just invite us in our minds to kind of visualize that person or that setting. And then we're going to pray that the opportunity will be there to, I couldn't help but notice. And maybe, like my friend, I couldn't help but notice that you're having a rough day today. I couldn't help but notice that you look concerned. I couldn't help but notice whatever it is. And then we say, Jesus, just lead us into a conversation. Give us the opportunity to share who you are. I couldn't help but notice that you're hanging on tight to something. Jesus, give us the opportunity, I pray, to share the freedom that comes from a life with you. And so who is it? Just think about your normal, everyday routine. Now I'm just going to encourage you, don't think about everybody at your coffee place or your work or the grocery store. Allow the Spirit just to plant one person in your mind right now that you're going to enter into a conversation with and allow the Holy Spirit to guide it. And so, Jesus, in this moment, we offer these up to you. God, I thank you for the truth that we've experienced. Jesus, you've come in and you've set us free. You've given us an eternal hope. And then you have placed us where we are today. And around people who are part of our normal everyday routine. And you've given us the privilege, Lord, of sharing this good news and this eternal hope. And so, God, I would pray for just the one person or the two that we're thinking about right now. Give us the opportunity this week, I pray, to enter into a conversation. Holy Spirit, guide it, I pray. Guide the questions. Guide those moments. And allow us the opportunity to share who you are. God, we thank you for it. I just commit each one of these today. Bless each one here today as we go out to make a difference, to carry out this mission that you have called us to make disciples. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Okay, the five words that we're going to use this week, and we're going to look for the opportunity that God's going to lead us in. What are they? I couldn't help but notice. I couldn't help but notice. And then we're going to allow Jesus and the Holy Spirit just to open up the door to talk. Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do. You notice in the program, there's a box down there. And it says, this week's question. And it's, I couldn't help but notice. And then underneath there, there's an email address, arts@gatewayfellowship.com. And I just encourage you, will you just email in your stories? I couldn't help but notice, email in your story, let us know how it's going so we can share with everybody else how that's working out for you. Amen? I couldn't help but notice how just awesome and terrific that you look today. Have a great week. See you next Sunday. God bless you.